Welcome back, everybody. Andy Christopher here, aka the dad I listen to frequently, your next edition of the DILF Show. Today's episode is going to be kind of all over the place, if I have to be perfectly honest. It's going to be one that it'll be just as scattered as my brain is right now. Alina's 3 months old. She is going through not a sleep regression, but she's going through just some stuff. And she had this stuffy nose, and we got so spoiled in the first couple months with her wonderful sleeping habits, where she was just waking up once and the feeding in the middle was dialed in. So now she's waking up multiple times. She's taking a little back step, and one of the hardest things about having two children is you need the other kid far enough away so that you don't wake them up. And right now, Julia's looking into, she's texted me about balancing the washer. These are the things that we face on a real-time basis. Our washer, it just goes, if you put in bulky items, it freaks the F out. We don't know why. We've had Best Buy come back out to rebalance it, and it still doesn't work. It's a Maytag, I can't remember what it is, but it's a piece of shit. It washes clothes fine, but we've had more issues with it not balancing than we should have. But anywho, so as we've been going through this in terms of trying to figure out the making sure that Alina sleeps and that she doesn't wake up Arlo, it is just a dicey proposition because you're constantly facing, you know, well, we should let her try to kind of cry through it a little bit. Remember, we talked about La Paz from bringing up Bebe and waiting to allow her to kind of soothe a little bit before just rushing to her aid. But then we look at our monitor and Arlo starts stirring because she's screaming. And right now we're figuring out a temporary Band-Aid. We think the answer might be to place a sound machine in the hallway so that it catches some of the sound when she's crying in the middle of the night to not wake up little man. But it's such a seesaw battle in terms of trying to figure out her sleep patterns, let her figure out her screaming fits a little bit and not wake up kiddo number one. These are the things that we just face in parenting, and not something that we would have ever known about until we had our second kid. And aside from the sleep and from spitting up all the time, she's doing great. A buddy of mine in my fantasy football league, we like to do these side bets, and we actually have a side bet this coming week that whoever loses, you have to hold your child over your face after feeding, and if they don't, and you record for 60 seconds, and if the child throws up on your face, they throw up on your face, and if they don't, then you have to go and take a shot. So Will, I want to beat you this week so badly, but this is going to be a fun bet. She's doing excellent. She's hitting all her metrics. She's gaining weight, starting to get a little chunky right now, which is nice because she was elongating, and now she's just this cute little rumbler. And she has already started to turn over. She already turned over onto her stomach. We started this notepad about firsts, and now she's engaging and laughing. She keeps saying goo goo, and she says yeah, saying all this stuff. And I know I would absolutely forget this if I didn't mention it on this podcast if it were 10 years from now. So it's so fun being in that stage. But then you start to phase out clothes, you start to realize that this is the end. You know, Julia and I have already decided that this will be our last child, and so it's crazy to think about that. And you get a little teary-eyed, and you start to revisit all these wonderful moments and really savor it. But, you know, you run into the same things that you do with kiddo number one in terms of going back to work and balancing your time. You know, work-life balance, probably a myth. I think you just, it's all a life balance, right? You know, yes, we have to work, but your life is your life. And when you start holding yourself 100% accountable, you realize good or bad, you're there for a reason. And you have done everything to yourself to an extent, and based off of the decisions that you've made. So what's nice about my job is that with Julia working week on, week off, I can take the, you know, that week and I can hit it hard when I'm working, and then I can kind of throttle back when she's working. And not everyone has that kind of flexibility, but I really find myself breathing, slowing these moments down so I can try to have mental images of her smile and her laugh and Arlo's interactions with Alina. He started jumping in her crib and like bouncing her around. We thought that it was going to be something she hated, but she absolutely loves it. She's just smiling at him and she admires him so much. And you can see it's so prevalent so fast. And she just loves him and loves interacting with him. Oftentimes, he's our best diffuser. He will come over when she's screaming and she'll look at him and she'll just simmer down and she'll be good as long as he's around. Unfortunately, he can't keep his attention too long, so he just kind of does his thing and then moves on, whether it's racing a car or whatever it might be. But yeah, I really have made an effort to just track these moments in my brain and be present, be as present as I possibly can so that I can revisit them down the road. And yes, our phones really do help. And we mentioned that on a previous one where you can look back at all these videos, but it's also difficult because you don't want to just take your phone out every time and just grab a clip or grab a photo because they're being cute or because they're being fussy and they're making funny faces. And because then you bring your phone out and their face looks at the phone. It's the most insane thing. And so you kind of have to, yeah, man, I wish you could just wear one of those cameras on your head all the time with your kids growing up and just revisit those memories and those mundane moments. I also joked with Julia that just one day when we're in charge of both children, when one person is in charge of both kids, it'd be so funny to record how that day goes, because the ups and downs and roller coasters in moods and frustrations and happiness and meltdowns and everything would just be, that'd be a good documentary. Actually, it's just a day in the life of a parent taking care of multiple kids. That would be must-see TV to me, because you can empathize with their situations so deeply. As you can tell, it's, you know, we've been all over the map mentally, and the lack of sleep is, it catches up with you and you feel fatigued, and there are moments in the day when you just try to sneak a little closed eye time, whatever it might be, and you find yourself leaning more on crutches and silver bullets than you typically do or like to do when it comes to television or when it comes to foods that they like or what it might be. But overall, you know, I'd say we're figuring it out. We're just kind of making our way through, you know, I talk about failing forward. Right now, we're just failing forward as parents. And the interactions of the children are what keep me going. It's so rewarding to watch them be together and then be independent. And I find myself just watching them from afar, watching them face to face and asking them, you know, asking Arlo questions and engaging Alina with big speak and funny faces. And I am at this moment glad that we waited as long as we did to have our second child. But what I will say, and you'll probably hear this a million times over to anyone in a similar situation, yeah, I wish I were younger. I wish I had that, you know, late 20s energy to really keep up with them. And now I see the absolute benefit to having children early, but I still maintain no one should have kids until they're at least 30, because there's too much life to live. And you can go back a few episodes and hear my rant on that particular topic if you're curious. But it's just an energy thing. And, you know, since I've, you always find an extra gear. What is difficult is mitigating and managing your own stressors and anxieties and frustrations to really stay not only mentally present, but as even keeled as you possibly can. Because now Arlo's getting to an age where he's starting to remember, and you never know what that initial or first memory is going to be. And you want to make it a great one. You want to make it a compassionate or loving or caring one, and not this just anger-filled, you know, tirade that you're taking out on your family because you're mad about something else or you feel deficient in some way. And it's not easy. And I want you to know that you're not the only one who's feeling that. You're not the only one who's feeling stressed and tired and struggling. And I encourage you once again to just reach out to someone. Reach out to me. My phone's right here. Literally give me a buzz and tell me what's going on in your head. But no, the kiddos are doing great. Julia finally got a chunk of sleep, and myself included got a chunk of sleep. So we feel a little bit better today than we have the past week or so. But I know that Julia was in a really tough place towards the end of her work schedule last week. And, you know, something that I didn't see and she divulged to me was, yeah, you know, I was crying because I was just kind of excited about where my kids are growing and going, but I feel all these emotions because they're growing up and Arlo's this little kid now. He's not my baby, was her exact sentence. And, you know, throwing away or getting rid of Alina's clothes that she's growing out of, and now we're at size 2 diapers for Alina, and compounded by the lack of sleep where it's just physical and mental exhaustion, and she's dealing with patients all day, and then she has to come home and be on point when it comes to interacting with the kids and trying to manage a husband and a person who is just constantly out of control as well. And, you know, we all have these daily battles that we face. And when she's at work and when I'm here at home, you know, one of the toughest things for me is managing the fact that I work from home primarily. And I always feel the pull to call that next client or call that next agent and reach out and connect and, you know, continue to forge relationships for what I do. But it, when, you know, baby girl's going through a phase where she only wants to sleep on you, or you can't put her down to take a nap, or, you know, she's particularly spitty or fussy or poopy that day, you have to make your priorities your own. And for me, I refuse to be an absentee father. I refuse to not be present mentally and physically with my children. And that is something I have held near and dear, more so now than, you know, probably when Arlo was this age, because I was just learning a new industry and really finding my stride. And it was just a very different set of circumstances with COVID, where physically I was there all the time, but mentally I probably wasn't, because I was thinking about work or thinking about other things. And now my priority forever and ever, like it's these children. And you find new ways to love and interact with them each and every day, but doesn't mean it's not tough. And so what else has been going on? You know, I'm trying to think in terms of something that can be something be meaningful to you. So we're going to Hawaii in a couple weeks here. I guess it's more like 10 days. And we're figuring out how to fly and travel with milk. We're figuring out all these things. I've never been to Hawaii, and so I don't really know what it's going to be like with children, much less myself. And when you go on these vacations, as I mentioned, you shouldn't hesitate to do it, but just be prepared for the fact that it's probably going to be a bit of a grind, you know, in terms of getting everyone wrangled in. If you go in with no expectations and then just do the things you want to do, you'll figure it out. And Arlo's sleep schedule, it might be off for a couple of days when he comes back, but who the hell cares, right? Let's go have fun. Let's go do our thing. But the traveling with the milk thing is something to really take into consideration. If you have a young baby and you need to, the mother needs to pump, you need to store the milk in a cool place. You need to store it in a cool place. And then Julia is going to be attending this work conference, so I'm going to have both kiddos during the day. And I really don't know what's going to happen in terms of having to feed her and where that milk's going to be. We don't know if our room has a fridge or just all this crap that we're just going to figure out on the fly. But it doesn't take away from the excitement of the fact that, dude, we're freaking going to Hawaii. I'm so excited about that. And I, you know, Julia's been doing all this research, and today she said there's these zoos and there are all these cool like water areas and all these things within walking distance. And yeah, it's going to be kind of the touristy area, but who gives a shit? Like, go have fun and enjoy your time with your family. And this could be that memory that Arlo remembers as his first thing. Oh, I remember going to Hawaii. I remember doing this. And Julia said there's a place where you can pet elephants. And I don't know. Really, really excited about that. And it's nice now when I understand mentally how to throttle down my workload. And, you know, with what I do in the mortgage industry, it's always, I always say, you're always on the clock, but you're also always off the clock because your schedule is your own. And so if you're constantly spinning the hamster wheel and you're always worried about it in your brain, you're never going to be mentally present enough with your children. And so I've been preparing myself for what's to come in that regard and the people I need to notify and all that good stuff. But, you know, kind of coming back to this work-life balance, you know, can it really exist if you have two working parents and, you know, you've got two babies and four personalities that all want attention and love and to do the things they want? I mean, what if it's off balance? What if that's just what it has to be for that particular time? You know, does it have to be 50-50? Do you choose your balance all the way through? I truly believe so. And I think that it has to evolve weekly, daily, hourly based off of what's kind of tugging at your need and then tugging at your attention. And if you just, you know, what I've realized going into a day in the office, in the home office, is that if I think that I'm going to have protected time and then I don't have it, I'm ultimately frustrated no matter what. And now I've really been working on the fact that this job's fluid and this job is, you know, it's a job that I want to succeed and do well at and take care of people at, but I'm going to have these moments that I'm needed elsewhere and dad duty is going to be my primary call. And, you know, during COVID when the, you know, real estate and industries were moving fast and furious, I don't think I had that same time because of the other things tugging at me. And that's why it was such a different experience with Arlo than it is right now with Alina. But I'm also way more experienced, so I understand how to approach it a lot better. But there's still times when, you know, I think I'll get to work for 3 hours and something pops up at daycare or something pops up with baby girl and that becomes the primary focus. And you just have to compartmentalize, create your own balance in that moment and be grateful for every minute you get to spend directly with your children and not be frustrated if, you know, you can't get to your specific work duty in that 15 minutes or whatever it is you were planning on. Man, I have all these topics, but oh, this was one too. So changing gears, speaking of mindset and everything, you know, you can wake up and feel refreshed and feel good to go and ready to rock. And I think one of the hardest things is when you're finally focused and when you finally feel a little bit rested, a little bit caught up and that you've hit the reset button. And then your toddler wakes up on a mission and it's just starting the day hot, coming in, guns blazing, mission of destruction, crying, whining about everything, might be a little bit sick. Arlo's had the sniffles for what feels like a month now and he just can't shake it. And we know it's affecting his psyche, but now everything is a push. Everything is just, he's just digging the knife in a little bit more. And when there's that disconnect with how good you're feeling and then their mentality, that can be one of the hardest days to possibly handle. And what I encourage you to do is physically and mentally get on their level, right? Drop to a knee and figure out what's bothering them. We always ask Arlo, does your body hurt? Does your head hurt? Does your nose hurt? Like, is there something physically wrong that could be affecting you here? Then we started leaning a lot on, well, honey, we need to put food in our bodies so that our bodies feel good. And he's been on these eating embargoes where he'll completely Gestapo it and say, no, not, I'm not going to eat anything. He's been drinking a ton of milk. Then he'll consume 2,000 calories the next day and he's off to the races. And so getting a better understanding of a little man or a little girl or a little person who is learning to articulate themselves is so crucial. And if you just try to force them and jam them into your little box, they're going to just relentlessly push back on you and just headbutt you every turn of the way. You know, you say that this is left, they know it's left, they'll say it's right. You say this is white, they'll say this is black. And they will just hit you on every level and they'll bring your attitude right down if you don't understand exactly or with some certainty exactly why they're feeling this way or behaving this way. But then there are times we could dial in everything properly and they just flip a script and they're just on another planet. And that is not uncommon. And just so you know, it's nothing you did. It's nothing you did to change that. They're just going through these massive swings of thought and emotion and data processing and input. And you can't possibly comprehend what it is in that moment. So don't let that frustrate you as best as you can. And definitely do everything you can not to take it out on your kiddo. And, you know, sometimes your best laid plans can just go awry and you want to try to figure out why. But I think the more often you just ride the wave, you're going to be happier and laughing through it a lot more times than you're frustrated by it. And I remember when, you know, little things, I think Julia also went through this too when she was a baby, believe it or not. I don't know how many hundreds of years ago that was, but when she, you know, when she was learning how to use the potty, her parents gave her a candy when she did it right. And then she would manipulate and just go to the potty and say, oh, I don't have to. Where's my candy? Something pretty similar happened with Arlo. We tried stickers. We tried showing him videos of himself on the phone. Then, you know, he would say, I want to see, he called it race on the phone. I want to see videos of myself, on the phone. And he would just sit on the toilet and just look at videos. And that's all he wanted to do. No intention of using the potty. So some things like that can backfire. And another one is when he had this basket that he was carrying around with all his favorite cars. And we thought it was, oh, this is the greatest thing ever for him to be able to carry around the house. And we won't have the cars strewn about nearly as much. But then he wanted to bring that to his nap. And now I have all these sharp-edged cars that are sleeping with him and they're falling out and he's playing with them. Just, you never know what's going to backfire. And something that seems so ironclad in terms of a positive step can turn into something completely else. Another thing that can turn on you. I was dropping him in the car and their songs get stuck in your head. Let's see, right now he's on Paw Patrol. He's on Mickey Mouse Roadster Racers. He's on Cars Still, the Pixar movie. And sometimes a song will just get stuck in your head. And I made the mistake when I was putting him in the car, I sang the lyric of the song. And then he's just like, oh, play that, play that, play that, play that. Some of these Paw Patrol songs are only 40 freaking seconds. And when they only want to hear that song, that's when you just have to go to a special place mentally. You just have to imagine whatever you need to tune out and still maintain safe driving form or whatever it is. But you got to go someplace far away from that tune because it's not good. Oh, man. So that was, I don't know what that was. That was just a day, a mental day in the life or a moment, a snapshot in time of a working father. And you know, it's one of those things where hopefully you took something out of it, but I just wanted to get back and make sure that you know that I'm there for you every step of the way. You know, tease out little things here and there to help become a better parent and learn how to be a better parent, but overall, just empathizing with your situation, because we all go through it. We all have our ups and downs, and we have our battles and our wins, and share the wins, share the battles, share everything along the way with, if not myself, with your significant other, with your family, with whoever's willing to listen, because these moments are going so fast. We've said it before, I'll say it again. The days are long, but the weeks are short. And so just soak it in every step of the way that you possibly can. Let me know your thoughts on this particular episode. And, you know, I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks. Andy Christopher, the DILF, signing off. I love you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Go have a great one.